Please take your Bibles, open to the book of Revelation, the second chapter. Revelation chapter 2, page 1333 in your Scofield Bible. We'll be reading just one verse from this chapter. We'll be going to two other verses in the third chapter. We'll read in unison the 25th verse of Revelation's second chapter. And may we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Let's read verse 25 together, please. Ready? But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. Chapter 3 and verse 3. And let's read that together. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Verse 11 in the same chapter, chapter 3, verse 11. Let's read. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And let's pray. And Father, do a work here, we pray. We pray that thou wouldst give us a yieldedness to thee, thy spirit, as we hear thy word, and bless with thy special power the preaching and our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
Late this morning, as always the case on the Lord's Supper morning. It is 11:33. That's about anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes later than I normally start preaching. So I want to tell you exactly what time I'm going to get through, or at least the latest I'll get through. I'll tell you exactly the latest time you'll get out of here this morning, and you won't have to fret and worry and look at your watch and wonder when this guy is going to come in for a landing. So this morning, by no later than 10 minutes after 12, I'll be through preaching. I promise you that. Now, I think I'll give you back a few minutes. It all depends on how well you listen and how still you are while I preach. And, of course, most of you will be very still because you sleep peacefully. But I promise you that I will not go 1 minute past 10 after 12. I promise you that I'll try to be through before then. And I promise you that by 12:30, the last prayer will be prayed and you'll be on your way home, which is always the case. We always get out at 12:30 or earlier. And this morning, I assure you, so you don't have anything to worry about. You have nothing to fret about. Everything is all right. And as long as I'm sane, I'll finish by 12:10. And two-thirds of the time, I am sane. So I want to speak this morning on the subject, you think you've fallen when you haven't. You think you've fallen when you haven't. I am three times, or once in each of the three verses we read a while ago, the apostle admonished a church or a people in a church to hold fast. Now, these were in all kinds of churches. The church at Thyatira was admonished to hold fast. The church at Sardis, I think it was admonished to hold fast. The church at Philadelphia, the best of the churches, was admonished to hold fast. At one place, he said, hold fast and repent. That, I think that was the church at Sardis, if I'm not mistaken. He said, hold fast and repent. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, you think you've fallen when you haven't. Or I could put it this way. Sometimes we think people have fallen when they haven't. Our Heavenly Father, in the next few minutes, give us a truth that will add some new strength and vigor to our spiritual lives, that will change us, help us to be better used to Thee. Give us attentiveness now from the people, and I'll promise to pay attention to you. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a needless waste, in our churches. And that waste is the waste of service for God on the part of people that we think who've fallen, who in reality have not fallen at all. They think they have fallen, but they have not fallen. We think they have fallen, but they have not fallen. Now follow me carefully for just a few moments. Here is a fellow who's progressing beautifully in the work of God. He's growing in grace. His Bible is dearer to him every day. His Savior is sweeter to him every day. He can earnestly and honestly say, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and he's the one I'm living for, because every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And they're progressing beautifully. And suddenly, they do something they never dreamed they would do again. Suddenly, some Egyptian from the past life comes after them when they think they have been delivered from Egypt. And that Egyptian comes and that habit comes and catches up with them. Maybe it's a word they say they thought they would never say again. Maybe it's something they do, an act they commit they thought they would never commit again. Suddenly, they do what they never dreamed they would ever do again. And they think they have fallen back where they were. They despair. Satan whispers, you're back where you used to be. Why don't you quit? Why don't you give up? You know better off than you were. You're back at peg one. Give up. Now, I want to say something this morning. I want you to hear me carefully. The devil's a liar. And the devil's lying when he says this to you. You've been reading your Bible. You've been praying. You've been coming to church. You've been growing in grace. You've been living a more separated life. All of a sudden, you do one thing that's bad. The devil comes up to you and says, yeah, you're back where you were. No, you're not back where you were. No, you're not back where you were. The devil wants you to think you've fallen all the way back where you were. But that's not true. Let me illustrate what I mean. Here's a college student. Goes to Hal Anderson College. He has a good record and passes all his courses. He's a freshman all semester. Spring semester is a freshman. He passes all his courses. Now he's a sophomore. He passes his courses in the fall of his sophomore year and the spring of the sophomore year likewise. Now he's a junior. Comes back in his junior year and he passes all his courses in the junior fall semester. Then the spring semester he does something wrong. He does something that's bad enough to where he has to get expelled. Now listen carefully. Is he a freshman again? No. He's still a junior. Everything he's learned, he still learned. Hadn't unlearned a thing. Everything he knows, he didn't know when he came, he still knows. He's not fallen back to being a freshman. He's stopped. Now what happens? I'll talk to him and I'll say, son, let's straighten up. Hold fast. Hold fast that which you've done and repent. And the next semester, get started again. So he comes back to school next semester and the registrar says, welcome, freshman. Nope. Every credit he's earned is his. He takes up right where he left off. He has not fallen back to becoming a freshman. Doesn't have to re-enroll as a freshman again. He did something wrong, but it did not take him back where he was. Illustration. You read the Bible. You memorize some of it. You study it. You hear it preached. You learn a bit of it. Then all of a sudden you stop. Don't read your Bible anymore. Does that mean you don't know any Bible? No, you know all the Bible you've learned. You don't unlearn a thing. I was in a southern state not long ago, and one of our college graduates, a fine young man, he may even hear the tape of this sermon, and I hope he does, because a fine young man, one time was a very important part of our machinery here, but the devil came and got him to do something he shouldn't have done, got him in a kind of life he shouldn't be in. I wanted to see him, and I was in the city where he lives recently, and so I called him and asked him if I could have a bite with him afternoon, or have something to drink with him. So we met down at the tavern together. And just checking to see if you're still there, that's all. And we met together down at McDonald's Tavern. And so we sat there for a while. And he didn't look like he used to look. He wasn't clean cut like he was. His hair was long and hippie-like. Look on his face was not the same as it was. And I sat there and I told him I loved him. We chatted for a while. You know what he did? He started quoting from sermons that I preached years gone by. He said, like you said in this sermon. Now, young man, he is living away from God. His life is not counting for God, but he has not fallen back where he was. He has his mind filled with the sermons I've preached when he was here. He has not fallen. The devil, I told him, the devil comes and says, yeah, you've fallen back where you were. You tell the devil to go on back to hell where you ought to be and leave you alone. You're not where you were. And oh, the tragedy is the devil sells you a bill of goods and makes you think that you're where you used to be. And you say, I can't do anything for God. He says that. He says you can't do anything for God anymore. Won't you just quit? Won't you just give up? Jesus says, hold fast. Let me illustrate. Brother Randy Erickson, he's coming down with something I've never used in a sermon before. He's coming down with a ladder. Brother Erickson is a Latter-day Saint. Just checking to see if you're still there. Brother Randy's going to put that ladder up here. You guys are right under it, and I hope you have all the bad luck you can have all week long. And Brother Randy's going to climb up that ladder. He doesn't know it, but he's going to climb up that ladder. He made me promise this morning that he wouldn't have to climb up the ladder, but I've forgotten all about it. He's going to climb up the ladder. Stop right there. Listen, he's a new Christian. Listen, he's a new Christian. He got saved by faith, by grace, through faith. He's born again. Didn't get saved because he joined the church. He got saved by grace, through faith, in the finished work of Calvary. Didn't get saved because he turned over a new leaf. Didn't get saved because he got baptized. Didn't get saved because he took confirmation. Didn't get saved because he sprinkled as a baby. Didn't get saved because he did a bunch of good works. He got saved by grace through faith in accepting the free gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But he begins to grow. And he reads his Bible and prays. And he grows some more. That ladder is 14 feet tall. He's going to grow about 18 feet. He doesn't know that. Then he grows some more. And notice the steady progress that he's making as he grows some more. And notice as he grows some more, the steady progress he's making. Pray for Brother Vogel there, would you please? I almost asked Keith McKinney to do this, but Brother Vogel talked me out of it. So he grows in grace some more. Now right there, he commits a sin. God draws a line right where he is. And God says, hold it there. Don't come back over the line. Confess. Repent. You've lost no ground. Don't do it again. get forgiveness. And so on. I say, Brother Randy, you made a lot of progress. Now all of a sudden you said something you never thought you'd say. You did something you never thought you'd do again. But every bit of Bible you've learned, you still know. Every step you've made of getting to know God, you still know. Every hour you spent in prayer was spent. And you've grown that far. Now what God is saying here to the church at Christians at Sardis, the Christians in Thyatira, and the Christians in Philadelphia, God is saying, hold on there. Hold it right there. Hold it right there. Don't come back down. See, here's what you want to do. You want to just come on back down. But no, hold it. No, God says, get back up there. Don't do it. Don't do it. Stay where you are. Don't. Hold fast. Hold the spot where you are now. Hang on there. Don't turn back. Don't give up. Just hold it right there. I know you're not going forward, but hold it. I know you're not growing right now, but hold it, he says. Hold it right there. Repent. So he repents. Then what happens? He starts going again. And he goes again. Then all of a sudden, he does something he shouldn't do. Now you say, Brother Hiles, you mean we can do it? You did something you shouldn't have done last week too.
Get your phylacteries off. It ought not be coming to you. Get off your pharisaical garb that looks down and you snoot at people that are imperfect and not perfect like you are. Let me tell you something. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me tell you something. There's none, present tense. There is none righteous, no, not one. Even our righteousness is like filthy rags in the sight of God Almighty. Nobody has a right to look down at anybody else because we're all in the same thing. And let me tell you, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Al Capone didn't have a temptation you don't have. John Dillinger didn't have a temptation you don't have. Hugh Hefner has no temptation you don't have. Madeline Murray O'Hare has no temptation you don't have. I'm simply saying the devil comes along and says, yeah, you did it again, didn't you? Yeah, you've fallen. No, you haven't fallen. God says, hold on, hold on, hold fast. You have to regroup now. You've got to repent. You've got to get right. Ask God to forgive you. But you've only done it one time. Now, hang on. You're not growing like you were growing, but you can start again. Hang on where you are. Hold fast where you are. Repent. That's what God is saying.
Thank you, Brother Randy. You're a good Latter-day Saint. Have a seat in my chair here. I might want to use you again.
Now listen to me for a minute. Satan says you've fallen all the way back. No, you haven't fallen all the way back. No, you haven't. The most important moment of your life is that moment. Is the moment right after you sinned. See, look, before you got saved, you were bound by sin. You were in bondage to sin. But when you grow in grace for a while and get up there a bit on that ladder, and you commit that sin one more time, you're not in bondage to that sin. You committed that sin. You've been freed from the bondage of that sin, and you're not in bondage. Now you can, if you want to, become in bondage again if you deliberately come back down. But when you commit that sin and you make that mistake, all of a sudden for the first time, the devil walks up and says, yeah, you did it, didn't you? I knew you'd do it. Yeah, I knew it. No use in keeping on going. You look at the devil, punch him in the nose with the word of God and listen to God says, hold fast! Hold fast! He talks to the Christians at Thyatira, a wicked church. The church that was operated and run by a woman, a charismatic woman preacher, I think, and a church that was wicked and worldly. And God comes to that church and says, wait a minute, hold fast. Hold it right there. Hold it right there. Don't move. Hang on. And God draws that line and says, don't go back over that line. Don't you do it. Oh, if I could get all the Christians in America who think they've fallen together and let them know they have not fallen back into bondage because they've committed some wrong or made some mistake, we could win this country to Jesus Christ with the strength and energy and power of those that have not fallen, who think they've fallen, who have not fallen, who we think have fallen. Well, bless your heart. My Bible says as soon as a child of God sins, Jesus comes in 1 John 2:1. He comes to us as our advocate to pick us up and get us strong again and bring us back again. And God simply says, hold it right there. I know you're not growing anymore. I know you're not proceeding anymore. You're not praying like you did. You quit your Bible like you did. But hold it right there. Hold it right there. Stop, repent, regroup, and then you can start going on again. You won't fall back because you sinned one time. You won't fall all the way back because you made the old mistake again. But you say, preacher, I didn't do that. Well, let me... Randy, get up there again. He got saved by grace through faith. And everybody goes to heaven in this room this morning. Everybody goes to heaven and get there because you accepted a free gift of eternal life. Not because you earned it, not because you deserved it. But he starts growing in grace. He reads his Bible and prays and grows in grace. Witnesses and serves God and comes to church and reads his Bible. Asks God's Holy Spirit to clean his life up. Becomes acquainted with the Holy Spirit and grows in grace again. And then he grows in grace some more. And then he grows in grace some more. And all of a sudden, he does something.
he thought he'd never do. Oh, I thought those words were out of my vocabulary. Oh, I thought that deed was out of my life. Oh, the old life is caught up. No, the old life hadn't caught up with you. One sin of the old life has caught up with you one time. And God says, hold it! Hold fast! Hang on there, Randy! Right where you are! Hang on there! Don't slide back! Hang on there! But let's suppose he does it again. Step back. That just means he's come down another step. He's still not fallen yet. Every time he comes back a step, he's got that much older. You obey me. Pull that ladder out from under him. Every time he comes back a step, he's got that step to retrace again. But I want to tell you something. There are people all over this room this morning who think you can't be used of God anymore, and bless your little heart, you can be used of God again. There may be some things you'll forfeit that you can't do, but there is not a child of God, there is not a person under God's heaven alive and breathing today who's God's child who cannot in some way still be used of God. So God says, hold it right there. Hold it right there. Hold on fast there, Randy. Hold on fast. Repent. Confess. Make it right. By the grace of God, you can do this again. And this. And this. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I've found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I'm talking to people this morning in this room who think that in one 10-second period, you can retreat to where you were before you got saved and you've been growing in grace for 20 years. But I want to tell you something. Nobody walks up that ladder without having to stop. Let me come back down. Let me show you my life story. Step aside here. Let me show you my life story. God came to me when I was a little boy, almost 11 years of age, and saved my soul. I'm not saying it's wrong to doubt your salvation, because some people do who spend too much time in introspection, not enough time in obedience. But from the moment that I knelt as a boy about a month from my 11th birthday till this moment when I'm 4 months from my 62nd birthday, there's not been one single second in my life where I've ever entertained the thought that I'm not saved. Not one. I'm not against you doing it. Some people do it. Some say people doubt it. And I'm not saying they don't. But in my case, I accepted Him. I had nothing to bring. I had nothing to deserve. I had naught that was worthy of earning salvation. And I said, bless God, I'll just take it. And I took it by faith. And I became a child of God. Now here's my life story. I've grown in grace. And I've grown some more in grace. And then I made a mistake. But when I've made a mistake, I hear God say, hold fast. Hold fast there, Jack. Hold fast. Repent. So I hang on and say, God, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it. I want you to forgive me. And I'm sorry. And there for a while, I just hold fast. Then soon the life begins to come back. And soon I feel the victory again. And soon I love the old book like I used to love it. And soon I love to walk with God like I used to walk with God. And soon the joy of God fills my soul and I grow a little bit. And I grow some more. All of a sudden I do something. I did something I shouldn't have done. And God says, hold it, Jack. Hold it. Hold it right there. Hold fast. Hang on there. And I hang on. God says, don't come back over this line. And God draws a line there and says, don't you come back down here. Jack, stay there. If I can't go forward, He said, the least you can do is not go backward. Well, God, what can I do? Now it's time to regroup. It's time to repent. It's time to ask God's forgiveness. And soon the Word of God becomes sweet like it used to be. And soon prayer becomes wonderful like it used to be. And soon Jesus becomes real like He used to be.
And soon soul winning becomes natural like it used to be. And I start growing again. And I grow again. And all of a sudden, I make a mistake. And God doesn't say, "You sorry rascal, you've fallen." No, I haven't fallen. I've stopped growing. God says, "Hold fast. Hold fast, Thyatira, the wicked church. Hold fast, Sardis, the dead church. Hold fast, Philadelphia, the great church. Hold fast, God's people." Look, the most important moment, as I said a while ago, in your entire life is that thing that you do right after you sin. And you're going to sin. You say, "I'm not going to." You just did. You're going to sin. You're going to disappoint yourself. You're going to disappoint others. You're going to disappoint God. God didn't say if any man sin, he kicks him down to the bottom of the barrel. No. He says if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And that advocate comes, and he says, "Hold it right there. Hold it there. Randy, don't hold it there. Hold it. Don't step back. Ask God to forgive you. Repent. Turn from your sin. Repent. God can use you again. Don't step back there. Don't do it." And all of a sudden, God forgave me. And the book became sweet. And Jesus became real. And prayer became an opportunity. The Christian life had its old zip again. I felt like I used to feel. Bless God, the Christian growth began to come. By the way, that's the story of your life, too. Step back down, Brother Randy. Just walk up without stopping until you get your hand to the top. Nobody grows in grace like this. Just keep going. Nobody does that. Nobody. Dwight Moody didn't do that. Martin Luther didn't do that. Martin Luther, for example, was seized by seizures of melancholy, and even doubting the fact that he was saved. And on his deathbed, even he had somebody to come and talk to him and talk to him about the assurance of his salvation. I mentioned tonight, George Mueller said there was a time in his life when he said nothing else matters. What I wear, where I go, who I am, what I have, where I live, nothing matters. Yet there came a time 9 years later in George Mueller's life, and all of a sudden he was seized by melancholy and even temptation to have temper tantrums. And he said, God, "I don't want to lose my temper." I'm saying in every single child of God's life, there is that growing, and then all of a sudden a stopping. Don't go back. God says, hold fast right there. Don't go back. Thank you, Brother Randy. You can have a seat here. I may use you again. Just all the way down on one step, Brother Randy, if I'm in a hurry. You were in bondage before. You're not in bondage now. You will not be back where you were until you're in bondage to sin again. When all of a sudden you stumble and do something you wish you hadn't have done, you're not in bondage. The devil caught up with you, but shake him off. Claim the blood. Don't try to figure out what went wrong either. Too many Christians are guilty of introspection. What went wrong? You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of a fellow who's fighting in a battle against an enemy. He's not doing very well, so he crosses over enemy lines and says, "I'm not doing very well. Can you tell me what I'm doing wrong? I'm trying to kill you guys over here, but I'm not succeeding. What am I doing wrong?" For you to cross over into the flesh and ask the flesh what you're doing wrong is silly. The flesh is your enemy. Quit trying to figure out what you did wrong and find out what God says you're supposed to do right. Don't worry about what's down here. Worry about what's up there. Confess. Start climbing again. You know who you are this morning. You know who you are. I'm talking to people this morning sitting in the choir. I'm talking to folks on the deacon board. I'm talking to folks in the Sunday school faculty. I'm talking to folks maybe on the church staff, maybe on the college staff, or the high school, grade school, junior high school staff, or city Baptist staff, Or folk been members of this church for years, and you respected Christians, but you know you've done something you shouldn't have done. You said something you shouldn't have said. You thought something you shouldn't have thought, and you said, "Oh, my soul, I'm back where I was." Bless God, you're not back where you were. You're where you are. And God comes and says, "Hold fast. Hold fast. Just hang on right there." I remember when I was a paratrooper. We had to run 1 mile the first day, 2 miles the second day, and added a mile every day until the 10th day we had to run 10 miles without stopping. Every day we had to run 10 miles with combat boots. Every day, up and down hills, not around the track. I mean, on the Georgia hills and the North Carolina hills. Had to count cadence much of the way. Up, hoop, leap, whoop, up, hoop, leap, whoop. 10 miles a day. Many a time I'd think I just couldn't hardly breathe. And all of a sudden, that's okay. I'm just going to try to hold on. That's all. I'm just going to try to. I'm not going to try to run fast. I'm not going to try to break any records. I'm just going to sort of mark time and just hold on. And all of a sudden, second wind came. A new breath came. And I could run again. And the Christian life is the same way. The Bible says, so run. Paul said, I've finished the course. Paul said, run the race that is set before you. And sometimes we come to a place in our lives where we stop running. Okay, you stop running, good, but hold fast where you are. Don't lose any ground you've made. Just hold it there. The Bible's not sweet, but hold it there. Prayer's not like it, but go ahead and pray and hold it there. Don't lose any ground. And repent. And confess. Ask God to forgive you. And then again, you can start growing. I go back to that fellow. A while ago I mentioned, in the South, at one time was one of our most trusted students at Howells Anderson College and laborers, whom I love very, very much, and whom I would not embarrass for the world. I was talking to him. He said, "Preacher, I remember those days. I know I'm not what I ought to be now, but I remember those days." Let me tell you something, folks. Your child may disappoint you someday. Your teenager may break your heart. But I want you to know that every sermon he's ever heard Brother Howells preach is still lodged in there somewhere. And I want you to know every scripture verse he memorized in Hammond Baptist schools is up there somewhere. And I want you to know that every Sunday school lesson ever taught to him by a faithful teacher is up there somewhere, and there's no way in the world he'll ever fall back where he was. Because he has in him years of training. I close with this, and it's an old illustration. I won't tell all of it. But it's the best illustration I know right now. Todd Moffitt. Grew up in this church. Went to our schools. School was over. He started traveling the world, the country, on a motorcycle. He told me himself there's not many sins he hadn't committed. Not many. But I'll tell you something. Brother Howells' sermons were still there. School teachers' lessons were still there. Sunday school teachers' lessons were still there. One day I walked out of my office. One night I walked out of my office late at night. No one leaving, please. Walked out of my office one night late at night. Outside my door, there stood one of the most pitiful looking creatures I've ever seen in my life. I said, "Sir, can I help you?" He said, "Don't you know me?" I said, "No." He said, "Preacher, I'm Todd Moffitt." And I said, "Todd." And I threw my arms around him. You wouldn't believe the different odors of sin that smell. You wouldn't have known him. If you'd known him before he left, you'd never have known him that night. And Todd said, "Preacher, I was sitting last night in St. Louis, Missouri, in a tavern, He said, there's nothing wrong that I haven't done. But he said, I was sitting there at that tavern, and all of a sudden, it dawned on me, does anybody in the world love me? Does anybody in the world love me? And he said, preacher, I saw your face. And I said, Brother Hiles does. And I got on my motorcycle, by the way. What did I say? It was still there. He said, I got on a motorcycle. I came from St. Louis. He said, I got here tonight. And he said, I knew where you'd be. I knew where you'd be. You'd be in your office counseling, trying to help somebody. I knew where you'd be. Hadn't forgotten, had he? Hadn't forgotten what I did on that night every week. Hadn't forgotten. He hadn't forgotten that I loved him. Todd Moffitt. Fallen? Not all the way back. There's too much in there. Too much in there. I don't know where you are this morning. Are you right here? Are you there? Hold fast. Hold fast, God, to forgive you. Regroup. Hold it. Some of you right there. You've grown farther. But you've stopped. You haven't fallen. You haven't lost everything. There's some things you probably couldn't do anymore, but that doesn't make any difference. There's some things you can do, bless God. And you know, it's time we independent fundamental Baptists quit trying to figure out who can't do what and figure out who can do what. We'd get as concerned about who can do something and what a fellow who sinned can do instead of what he shouldn't do. We might get somewhere close to New Testament Christianity again. Hold on. Repent. Hold fast. Ask God to forgive you. And get strong. Get strong. As a paratrooper, I used to climb ropes. We had to climb 35-foot rope to get in the paratroopers, and once we're in, had to climb it every week. And I was a good rope climber. I'd climb that rope, and I'd climb it. I'd get a third way to the top, and I'd just hold on a while. Just hold on. Trying to get enough strength to reach up and grab it again. And then I'd get enough strength, I'd reach up, I'd grab it, and reach up, and I'd grab it, and reach up, and I'd grab it. And then all of a sudden, I think, I'm about two-thirds to the top. I can hear the guys at the bottom saying, hey, Jack, hold on. Hold on! Don't slide back down! Hold on! Hold on! Hold on! Exactly what God says. Hold fast and repent. Would you bow your heads, please?